I want to lay a foundation of a series that I believe God has put on my heart to teach. Just over probably about 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to be on this series. And it's entitled, Living the Kingdom Life Jesus Died For. Living the Kingdom Life Jesus Died For. And so we're going to consider today, just as an introduction, there's a few statements I want to make to help lay a foundation for this series. Again, to all of the family that came for the baby blessing, family and friends, we bless God. We thank God for you. We pray that you've been ministered to as well during our time of worship. One of the things about our house is we are very much given not just to worship or to singing, but we are given to establishing the presence of the King. And there's a difference. There really is a difference. And it's partly why it's important for me to move into this area of teaching, living the kingdom life Jesus died for. Father, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for these few moments in your word. And I pray that you would bless this time, that you would bless your word, cause your word to come alive and fulfill what you have intended for it to do in the time in which we are together. Thank you for your faithfulness now, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are here and that you are moving in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. As we've come into this year, talking about or believing that God gave us a word that 2018 would be the year of kingdom expansion. The year of kingdom expansion. Say that. The year of kingdom expansion. Say it again. Come on. The year of kingdom expansion. In that, this is what God said. He said, 2018 will be a year of kingdom expansion. We will see and hear more about the kingdom of God in this year than in previous years. Many will have an awakening to the reality of the kingdom of God and move away from theological and denominational constraints to embrace the reality that there is more than God that God has for us. Look at somebody and say, there is more that God has for us. Come on, say it again. There is more that God has for us. The other thing that we focused on is this. And 2018 will be a year of religious bondages and strongholds broken. Religious and traditional barriers that have opposed the power and the manifestation of the kingdom of God, causing people to be held in bondage, will be toppled, demolished, and destroyed. I absolutely believe that, and I have been kind of tracking this, that I see that there are many now who are talking about the kingdom like never before. And if there's certain trends out there, if you follow trends, where there are people that are now leaving what we would call the denominational churches, looking for the more, say more. They're looking for more. And the more that they're looking for is beyond that denomination or that theology that's been taught, and really, really pressing into all that God has. All that God has. That's why it's important, the statement for me of living the kingdom life Jesus died for. The reason the emphasis on the kingdom life Jesus died for is because I believe he died for more than you and I have accessed. Okay? One songwriter wrote a song I don't know the exact title, but it was like, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Y'all familiar with that title? I don't know if that's the exact title, but is that it? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I think there's probably there's some truth to that, but the question is, what was he thinking? Okay? What was he thinking? I believe that what he wants us to tap into is the more that he is thinking than what you and I have been accustomed to or what we've been taught. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses there. It says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, it says, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After he had done by the Holy Spirit, giving orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus spends this time talking with the disciples after he is risen from the dead. It says, to these he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. So I need you to get this, because now Jesus has died. He took care of death, hell, and the grave. He defeated the enemy. When he comes back, he's not talking about church. He's talking about his kingdom. He's talking about his kingdom. And it says for 40 days, a period of 40 days, he's instructing them about his kingdom. Now, when you read on, what you find is that they still weren't really understanding what he was saying, because somebody in the group or some of them said, "Are you now going to establish the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus is saying, "No, you still don't get it. I'm not talking about an earthly kingdom right now. I'm talking about a heavenly kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom of my Father. I'm talking about the kingdom that I brought with me that now you can become a part of." See, I think that things are changing now about the way that we present salvation. Jesus died for our salvation, and we might look at that over the next few weeks. But that's not all he died for. That's not all he died for. And for many people, we teach it in a way that it's all about getting saved, but never about purpose and destiny. Never about walking out who God has intended for you to be once you've come into the kingdom. He spends 40 days talking to them about the kingdom of God. I believe what he's talking to them about is helping them understand how tough it's about to be. Because you see, those who saw Jesus when he walked on the earth, the 3.5 years of his ministry, most of them thought it was political. They thought it was the next uprising. They were not aware that what he was talking about was something altogether different. They thought that they would kill him and that all the crowd that followed him would dissipate. You want to end a movement? Take out the leader. Distract the leader. So they thought. But Jesus talks to them about kingdom. Living the kingdom life Jesus died for is more than just the acceptance of the reality that we are born again through Christ. There's a book that I've been reading, and I want to just share 3, maybe 4 points from it just over the next couple of minutes. There's a book called Cosmic Initiatives, Restoring the Kingdom, Igniting the Awakening. It's by Jack R. Taylor. Cosmic Initiative. Now, don't get caught up with the word cosmic. You can just say kingdom initiative. Restoring the kingdom, igniting the awakening. See, right now, whether you recognize it or not, in the body of Christ, God is stirring his church now to the awakening of kingdom. The awakening of kingdom. Many, if not most of us, grew up in some type of denomination. We grew up in some denomination. Some have spent all of their lives in that denomination. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that's a bad thing or an evil thing. But you got to ask yourself, is that all there is? Is what you've been taught all there is? Now, the quick and short answer is no. Because that's concerning anything. But one of the things that I found over all of my travels, and not just here in the United States but abroad, is that the kingdom of God is everywhere. The kingdom of God is everywhere. And the expressions of the kingdom are multifaceted. But we are at our greatest strength, we are at our greatest power when we can embrace what God is doing. I don't care if it's in a movement or within a denomination or a theological group, however you want to put it. When we're able to see God in it and be able to embrace that part of God in whatever group or ministry it is, you're on your way to operating out of kingdom and not of a very limited stream of what church life may be for you. That's a good time to clap or say, "Oh my, come on, y'all, work with me." I know we've been kind of going along here at a good pace, but just stay with me just a couple of moments. It's in Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. This is what Jesus says to Peter after Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He says, "On this rock I will build my church." He's talking about the revelation. Say the revelation. Come on, he's talking about the revelation of what Peter just said. Upon this rock I will build my church. The forces or the gates of hell will not overpower it. I will give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. I will give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. Now, hear this. A lot of times, you can read a passage like that and think, you and I bind it, and so it gets bound. But that's not the way it reads. Okay? That's not the way it reads. Whatever you bind on earth has already been bound. Whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed. You see the difference there? Because God is not a cosmic bellhop that we just speak something and he runs off and does it. Doesn't work that way. No, the way the kingdom of God operates is like this. When you and I are born again, we become the church. Okay? Jesus didn't die for an organization. He didn't die for an institution. He died for a body. He died for a living organism, an entity that's moving. That's why the Bible says we are living epistles. Okay? We're living epistles. We're like stones, but we're able to be molded and shifted to find our place. We're living epistles. One of the challenging things about denominations is they're good at making bricks, but not necessarily fashioning stone. Any masonry people in here? Any masonry people that laid brick or any of that kind of stuff? Now, I just have to tell you, my tenure in that was very brief. Very brief. All right. However, I just got enough about it to know a little bit how it works. See, when you go to the Home Depot, you go somewhere to the masonry place, you know, and you buy bricks, all the bricks are on a pallet. Because they're all cut, shaped, exactly the same way. In many of our church thinking, that's what we've done. We've created nice bricks. But we didn't come into the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, to be bricks. We came as living epistles. We came as lively stones, meaning that you're shaped a little different than me. Yeah, just look at the person. I can see that. Yeah, we're all shaped a little different. And the spirit man is the same way. And so there's a working and a process that happens for you that's different for me. God always works with the authentic you, the you that was with him before you got here. That's why one of the challenges about denomination and religion and theology is that you can get set in something, and by the time you come through it, you look nothing like what God intended. You look nothing like when Jesus was on the cross, you were on his mind. You look nothing like the you that was on his mind on the cross. That's what I'm talking about, living the life Jesus died for. What is it about you that just quite may be not quite what he intended? That he's saying, but here we are in the year of 2018, the year of divine do-overs, new cycle of new beginnings. We're going to get it right this time. And so I look at it and I just recognize that for many, you know, it's the brick type thing. You get the pallet of bricks, they're all right on top, stacked neatly. But you can't stack stone. You can't put stone on a pallet and drive off with it. It's got to be put in a bin. Because some pieces are big, some are little, some are jagged, some are smooth. But I remember the process years ago when I was working with my dad out on a piece of property, and I was watching the guy put this stone wall in. And when he was putting the stone wall in, see, brick is just line by line, okay? You take the chalk line, okay? It snaps back. That's your line. Okay? Put the mortar on. Take the leveler. Put it on it. You see that? It's kind of off. So you take you tap this down. Okay? The mortar squishes out. You scrape that mortar off. Okay? Till it's level. I do know a little bit about it. I didn't say I was good at it, but I know a little bit about it. Okay? And then you do that, and you do it so often as the wall goes up. But you can't do that with stone. You can't do that with lively stones. You can't do it with stone. You take the stone and you kind of look at it. I watched this guy look at the stone. He's looking at the wall. He looks at the stone. He recognizes that this stone won't fit anywhere here, so he sets it down and gets another stone. Some of you may wonder why it seems like you're not in your season quite yet. Some of you are, but some of you aren't because it's not ready for you in the wall yet. It's not ready for you in the assignment yet. And so God has a way of looking. Now he could make you fit by just chiseling you down to fit. But how many of you like, you know, that process is hard. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Any of y'all have been chiseled on? Okay, now Jesus talked about it a little different when he talked about pruning. Same process. But I watched this masonry. I watched him take stones, and then he would take it and maybe set it down. Now, he didn't put any mortar in it yet. He just kind of sets it and sees if it's going to fit. Then he realizes it's going to fit, but this edge right here is just not quite. So he grabs this hammer, chisel hammer, takes it, bam! They're real good, just knocking the edges off. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, puts it back. Fits just right. Then he takes the mortar, puts it in there, sets the stone in place. Then he steps back and he looks at the wall again and assesses what else needs to go where. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but a stone wall is actually stronger than a brick wall. In a stone wall, the stress points are less likely to be able to define where they're at. But in a stone wall, all you got to do is punch out a few bricks, and you're in trouble. Okay, so that's the lesson today on building walls, constructing. I'm trying to give you an analogy, though, of what's happening now in the kingdom. We got a lot of bricks in the church. We got a lot of bricks, a lot of bricks. Know the right thing to say, know the right way to walk, know the right way to talk. But no real power, no real evidence, no real walk. We want to live the kingdom life that Jesus died for. And for some of us, it means it's going to take a divine do-over. It's going to mean a renewing of the mind. When the scripture says, be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think be not conformed to the denomination. See, I don't know what your story is or your journey is. I just know mine. And I know the points where it got quite limiting. Because I was told, oh, we don't believe that. We don't teach that. We don't do that. They crazy over there. But you have to know it goes both ways. Because the ones that think they got it all, they ain't saved over there. They don't praise God over there. They just sit. Well, how do you know whether somebody's praising God or not just because they just sit? They may be having one of the most powerful encounters with God, and they're sitting because they can't move because the presence of God is so strong on them. Hey, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. If we're not careful, we start looking around and, you know, I got it all. You ain't got nothing. Flip side, no, you out of your mind. You don't have to do all that. Somewhere in the middle, somewhere down the road, is God working through all of it. So I'm going to close on giving you these points, something to ponder, something to think about. Jesus makes it clear. He says, upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church. But here are some the writer calls them suppositions. Okay? Now that's a legal term in court, suppositions. You're presenting suppositions. And these are things that I believe are key for us if we are going to live the kingdom life that Jesus died for. Number one is this: the kingdom is not the church, and never will be. The church is not the kingdom, and it never has been. They are not synonymous. Matter of fact, just read it with me. Can y'all see that? Y'all got good eyes. Here we go. Come on. The kingdom is not the church. Say it louder. Come on. The kingdom is not the church. It never will be. The church is not the kingdom, and it never has been. They are not synonymous. You can't say church and say you're talking about the kingdom. You can't say the kingdom and say you're talking about the church. Now, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, synonymous. The church, though, is something different than the kingdom of God. Number two, read it with me. The kingdom and the church are not equivalent. The kingdom has existed from eternity, while the church came into being at Pentecost. The kingdom is already established. The church is under construction. The kingdom is perfect. The church is being. Now, that's a typo there. It should say the church is being perfected. Okay? The kingdom and the church are not equivalent. The kingdom has existed from eternity while the church came into being at Pentecost. Jesus teaches them, shares with them about his kingdom, and then says, wait until you be endued with power. The church came into existence. We see it in Acts 2. The church came into existence. The thing about what many have not understood is, listen, our resources come out of the kingdom, not necessarily or not just out of the church. I'm going to say that again, and then I'm going to wrap this up. When it comes to resources, say resources. All that you and I would ever, ever, ever need is in the kingdom. That's why when you read in Matthew the 6th chapter and God and Jesus is talking to them about don't worry about anything. You look at the lily of the fields. You look at the birds. Everybody's taken care of. You are more important than all of them. Then he boils it down to Matthew 6:33 when he says all you got to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Simply meaning, you focus on the kingdom, all the rest of it is taken care of. It is a missing concept. It is a missing consciousness in the lives of most believers. Just like when we started out today and Pastor Deborah said, good morning, heirs. And some of y'all just sat there like, who's she talking to? She must be talking to the members of heirs. No, I'm talking to all of you. If you're saved, born again, you're an heir. You're an heir of God, joint heirs with Christ. If you don't understand that, good chance there'll be a disconnect in your life about receiving all that God's intended to bring to your life. I just want to tell you again, it ain't just about being saved and going to heaven. That's done. That's done. The scripture says that Jesus has passed through into the heavenlies and he's forever making intercession concerning you and I. You ever thought about what Jesus is praying? What is Jesus praying? You think he's praying that you stay saved? You think he's praying that you make it in? No, that's not what he's praying. I believe what he's praying is that an interceding for the purpose and destiny for which you were created. That's what I believe. Let me keep moving because I can see some of y'all already gone. All right, number three. Number three, the kingdom does not fit within the church. The church fits within the kingdom. The kingdom does not fit within the church. The church fits within the kingdom. And then lastly, the church must never be perceived as complete without the kingdom, while the kingdom is completed by the church that Jesus is building. The kingdom will never be understood until it is acknowledged as the whole of which the church is a part. The church will never be understood until it is perceived to be connected with the kingdom as its earthly expression. Now I know this is a lot. This is a thinking. You know, you don't come to church and leave your brain in the car. That's one of the things that's hurt us. You gotta think about this stuff. You gotta think about it. You gotta think about the reality that when Jesus spoke to them and said, "Wait till you're endued with power," he was talking about the infusion of the power of the kingdom now living on the inside of you and I. In the person of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, now you have the connection between church and the kingdom. The reality for believers is this: everywhere you go, the kingdom has the potential to show up. The kingdom is everywhere. As a believer, a member of the body of Christ, a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, anywhere you show up, the kingdom has the potential to show up. And I say it just that way because except that you really tap into living the kingdom life Jesus died for, you'll go to work every day and the kingdom will never show up because you never acknowledge the fact that that's why you're on that job you don't like. Or that job you're trying to get away from. You ever work a job and you said, "God, just release me to ministry. Just release me to my purpose and death." Anybody ever been in that place? I've been there. You know what I found out? He said, "I ain't releasing you to nothing." He don't talk like that. He said, "I'm not releasing you to anything until you represent me here. Until we finish the assignment here. And when I know that you can be glad about getting up in the morning, that knowing that you represent me, and even though you don't like that boss, or you don't like those coworkers, or you don't like the pay that you're getting, that's not, and God is saying, that's not even for you to focus on. I am your source. I am your source. But the day you can get excited about going to that place, excited to interact with those people and recognize I'm here, so the kingdom is here. If you need any answers about life, just talk to me. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That kind of confidence.
Yes, sir.
I might not have the answers, but I know how to get the answers.
Amen.
In the book of Daniel, David was brought before Nebuchadnezzar with all these other magicians. Because Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he couldn't figure out. Scared him. Daniel said, I can tell you the interpretation. He told the king, he says, "No one but God can interpret dreams. Tell it to me." What he was saying is, because I got the connection, I'll go get the answer and bring it back to you.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying to those of you under the sound of my voice that are born again believers, you are the connection to the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That's it for now. Would you thank God for his word?
Yeah.